From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, March 4th. Coming up, we'll listen to a conversation with Professor Dr. Ollie Watts Davis, founder and director of the U of I's Black Chorus, about this musical tradition, past and present. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The University of Illinois is taking steps to make campus more bike-friendly. IPM student reporter Anna Koh has more on the planned infrastructure changes.
Around 15% of U of I students use bicycles as their primary mode of transportation, says Sarthak Prasad. He's a sustainable transportation assistant at Facilities and Services. He says the previous bike plan focused on improving infrastructure at the core of campus. The new plan expands to the outer edges.
For instance, the Florida Avenue connectivity to Orchard Downs with the campus.
U of I junior Yehuda Goldblum says he's satisfied with the U of I's bike network, but there's room for improvement.
There's some buildings and places that need more bike racks, for sure.
More bike racks are part of the plan. To cover the cost, the bike infrastructure fee charged to students will rise from $1 to just over $3 per semester. I'm Anna Koh, IPM News.
The Illinois Secretary of State's office has unveiled an interactive portal at its website that helps users determine if they need a real ID. Real IDs will be required to board domestic flights after May 7th for those who do not have a valid passport, but they're not required to drive a car or verify identification. Meanwhile, Saturday hours for getting a real ID have been expanded at many DMVs, mostly in the Chicago area. Saturday morning services by appointment only are already available at several downstate DMVs, including Champaign, Bloomington, and Peoria. School districts in Champaign-Urbana are figuring out what to do if immigration and customs enforcement comes to their doors. That says President Trump has ended limits on immigration enforcement in sensitive locations like schools. Betsy Holder is a member of the Champaign Unit 4 School Board. She says the district is working out a plan but is worried about publicizing it.
Morally, I don't know where I fall in that, because for me, I'm like, I want to make a big, you know, loud statement like, no, we're not going to, you know, we're going to protect these families and everything else. But in doing so, I do have to agree with some of our administration. It's like, we don't want to be a target.
Holder says the plan will involve redirecting ICE agents to the district's headquarters, where lawyers will review what kind of warrant they have. She says, unlike Urbana District 116, the district has not done door-to-door outreach to families who may not have legal immigration status. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker championed proposed legislation yesterday that would allow community colleges to offer bachelor's degrees for in-demand career fields. Illinois' two-year institutions could offer four-year degrees in programs such as nursing, early childhood education, and manufacturing. Pritzker says community colleges provide flexibility and affordability for students.
To build an economy where every Illinoisan can get ahead, we need an education system that can meet people where they are, regardless of their age, regardless of their background or their zip code.
24 states, including Indiana and Missouri, already allow community colleges to offer baccalaureate degree options. Still to come, we'll listen to a conversation with Professor Dr. Ollie Watts Davis, the founder and director of the U of I's Black Chorus. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, cloudy and breezy with showers and thunderstorms likely in a high of 60 degrees, south wind 15 to 20 miles per hour, gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms likely in a low of 46 degrees, south wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy and windy with a chance of rain changing over to snow flurries, temperatures falling from the middle 40s into the middle 30s, a west wind 20 to 25 miles per hour, gusting to 45 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy and windy with a chance of flurries in a low of 26 degrees, west wind 20 to 25 miles per hour, and for Thursday, sunny with a high of 44 degrees and a northwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, Republicans in Washington have been talking about significant cuts to Medicaid, the health insurance program for the poor and disabled. We'll talk about what that could mean for Illinois, where one in four people rely on the program for health coverage. Plus, what you need to know heading into this year's tax season. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 2 and 7 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Black sacred music ranges from spirituals to hymn songs to urban contemporary gospel and hip-hop. The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign is one place where black gospel music is studied, performed, and perfected. IPM's Kennedy Vincent spoke with Professor Dr. Ollie Watts Davis, founder and director of the U of I's Black Chorus, about this musical tradition, past and present.
I believe that the Black sacred music tradition came when the first enslaved Africans landed in 1619. I believe that while they weren't able to bring material culture with them, they could bring immaterial culture. They could bring their memories, their mores. They could bring their values, and they could bring their music, and they did bring their music. And so I believe from the retention that we have today with the actual music form, the sometimes the manner of teaching the music and learning the music, the call and response or antiphonal style, that's all a retention from our ancestors from the continent of Africa. Mm-hmm. Our preference for certain tessitura or pitches of the male voice and the female voice, the use of the extended chest voice to elicit a certain response or to express a certain feeling, I think that also is a retention.
Gods are gonna trouble the water.
The leader looks like the Israelite.
Gods are gonna trouble.
So this music, as I said, it came as a seed in 1619, and it just took root. It just germinated. And music in this tradition is functional. It's beautiful. It's pleasing to the ear, but it serves a purpose. And I think that also is a retention from our ancestors on the continent. So it depends on what we were experiencing. When we came here first, we came here as workers. And so there were the work songs and the music, the text would serve the purpose that was needed for, but I believe that there was always a spirit on that music, a spirit to form community, a spirit to communicate. And so even though it was maybe a secular form, there was also a sacred aspect to it as well.
God is gonna trouble, yes he will.
When we think of Black sacred music, we typically relate it to Christianity, gospel music, worship music. But what ties Black sacred music to ancestors isn't only context of the song, but it's also the ways it's performed.
And the music just continued to develop to serve as, again, the purpose. So you have the secular traditions, you have the sacred traditions. My research interest in what features is the sacred music traditions. So we start with spirituals. And we know the history of spirituals and how they were disseminated by the Fisk Jubilee singers back in the 18th and early 19th century. And then depending, again, what was happening sociologically, music started to evolve. So we not only have the spirituals, but then we have, once reading and literacy came, we had the adoption of hymn singing. But it was done in a style that reflected the values of the African-American or the Black tradition. So I call them improvised hymns. And then we kept evolving to gospel music during the Depression era. And probably the most famous gospel song during that era was by Thomas Dorsey, who's noted as the father of gospel music, with His Precious Lord.
All right. Let's go.
Precious Lord. I love your name. When I
Dr. Davis talks about the oral traditions brought over from Africa that are weaved throughout Black sacred music. Christianity in Africa can be traced as far back as the 1st or 2nd AD, and Islam as far as the 7th century. With how widespread Islam and Christianity were in Africa by the 1600s, people who were forcibly brought here during the North Atlantic slave trade would have been Christian and Muslim. But many during that time were of indigenous polytheistic practice too. For example, West African Vodun is an old religion. It centers around the existence of a supreme creator divinity, with lesser deities that are associated with specific areas. When it was brought to the Americas, the cultural practices passed down inspired the creation of Louisiana and Haitian voodoo. Also, on the West Coast is the religious practice of Yoruba. Yoruba and religious factions based on this religion are practiced around the world due to the large displacement of its people during the slave trade. Traditional Yoruba beliefs hold that all people experience Ayanmo, which is destiny or fate. As a part of this, there is an expectation that everyone will eventually achieve the state of Olodumare, which is becoming one with the divine creator who is the source of all energy. In the Yoruba religion belief system, life and death is an ongoing cycle of existence in various bodies. In Aye, the physical realm as the spirit gradually moves towards transcendence.
So I want for the audience and everyone to know that the music has a function, it serves a purpose. And we continue to go through our journey in this country, and whatever we were experiencing sociologically, we were responding with music. See, this music has served as a shelter, and it has served as, has set a standard for us to express our feelings and our values. It serves as a shield. I often call the music of Black Americans armor, mm-hmm. armor for my trauma. And so it, again, being functional, serving a purpose. And, you know, as we continued, the civil rights movement came about, and our hymns and our spirituals were repurposed to basically address what we were experiencing. So the spiritual that may have said, ain't going to let nobody turn me around, you know, became ain't going to let Bull Connor turn me around, or whatever the social circumstance was. Again, the music was repurposed and used for that specific existential situation. We get into the 70s and the 80s, and we have this emergence of gospel music. And I believe a turning point was when the Hawkins family out of Oakland, California, released their very engaging gospel song, Oh Happy Day.
Oh, happy day. When Jesus wore, oh, when he wore.
And that was a real transition period. And we just continued to develop from there to where we are now with urban gospel, traditional gospel as well, urban soul gospel.
So promise me.
Even to hip-hop gospels. But I guess I want the listener to know that the music, although beautiful and aesthetically pleasing, also served the people. And so in my teaching, I impress upon the students, learn the music well. Give yourself over to the music. Be committed to an authentic interpretation of the music. And as you journey through your life, the music will serve you.
That was University of Illinois Black Chorus Director Dr. Ollie Watts Davis speaking with IPM's Kennedy Vincent. You can learn more about the genre and listen to some amazing music on Dialogue this Wednesday at 8 p.m. on WILL AM 580. Find the podcast version on the Illinois Public Media YouTube channel. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Anna Coe, Emily Hayes, Isabella Nieto, and Kennedy Vincent. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.